You'd open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking today at Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 29. Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your truth that you have recorded, handed down to us. And Lord, by which you help us to order our lives. Help us to see our duty to you. And Lord, teach us what we need to know about you, our great God and King. And Lord, we pray today that you would take these words, that you would use them through the power of your Holy Spirit to change hearts and lives, to draw us closer to you, to teach us, Lord, as your people, to edify and strengthen, build up your church, and Lord, to convict, draw others to yourself. Lord, may we hear your voice this day, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name, and for his sake. Amen. Where or in what do you put your faith? Is it in your bank account, or your 401k, or your brokerage account? Is it in your job? Is it in your work ethic? Perhaps it's in the government. Are these things you believe will bring happiness, and pleasure, and security? It's very hard for most people to turn their back on safety and security and pleasure in exchange for ridicule, mistreatment, or loss in the service of God. It's very hard to do that. It's very hard to sacrifice what makes us comfortable in the service of God. But that's exactly what the apostle lays before us in this example of Moses in our text today. You know, he's already given the Hebrews examples drawn from the life of Abraham, and now he holds up to them one who is almost as highly esteemed in their eyes, Moses. He emphasizes the results of Moses placing his faith in God and looking to God alone as the source of joy and peace and security. You know, the apostle goes back to Moses' parents in the first declaration of faith. You know, they defied the order of Pharaoh and protected his life. Pharaoh had declared that all the Hebrew baby boys that were born should be put to death. They were getting too numerous. He was afraid of their growing numbers. And the Hebrew midwives had already been defying Pharaoh's orders in this regard, but Moses' parents defied Pharaoh. They hid their child away when he was born. And in addition to loving their child, which would be normal for all parents, they saw something special in him. He was no ordinary child, the scripture says. Some places he's described as beautiful. Of course, every parent thinks their child is beautiful, but there's something about him that they see that sets him apart from others. And so they hid him until he was a little older. And, you know, their faith was so strong that they defied Pharaoh's order. This is the kind of resolve which placing your faith in God will bring to the believer, irrespective of the threats, irrespective of the danger, irrespective of the source or severity of those threats. The believer who truly looks to God and His Word will stand firm in those places. They answer like Peter and John did before the leaders and the teachers and the chief priest. You know, they were hauled in there for healing a crippled man and teaching about Jesus. Remember what they said? You judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight for us to obey you or to obey God. That's the Christian. That's the right response. We must obey what God says. Moses' parents placed their faith in God. And they placed their little baby in a little boat they made and put him in the Nile River in faith. Nile River is a place that has crocodiles and big fish and other animals that come there to drink. In faith, they placed their baby there. And in God's great providence, it's also a place where Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe. And she saw the little baby. And she noticed something special about him too. She took him out of the water. She named him Moses. And Moses' sister, who was there watching to see what might happen to the baby, quick thinking, big sister, comes up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Do you want me to perhaps find one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child? He's just a baby." She said, "Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll pay her." So she goes and gets her mother. And so Pharaoh's daughter pays Moses' mother to nurse her own baby. After he's weaned, though, he went to live as Pharaoh's daughter's child. He was raised, he was educated, he was treated and pampered like Pharaoh's own grandson. We're not talking about a few days, we're talking about almost 40 years. He lived in the palace, ostensibly as the grandson of Pharaoh. Well, the apostle then jumps from that and he picks up the story when Moses is grown, actually grown very old, because this section is often confused with the account of Moses fleeing Egypt after he murders an Egyptian. But Moses was not identified with the Hebrew people at that time. He just disappeared. He was frightened. He fled in fear. You know, he wasn't suffering disgrace for Christ. He, didn't have to flee, actually. He was Pharaoh's grandson. Nobody's going to do anything to him for murdering the supervisor of some building project. He's in the inner circle, the power in Egypt. He could have gotten away with that, but he fled. And I believe this is the apostle's point here. He could have returned. He could have gone back to the palace. He could have made amends. He could have made up some story that the guy attacked him. He could have done anything and lived in luxury. He didn't. He left. And he did not return until God sent him. And when he arrived, he didn't choose to be identified as the grandson of some previous Pharaoh. He chose to be identified as a servant of the Most High God, and one that God, the only true God, had sent to liberate his people. He was identified as the leader of the Hebrew slaves, forsaking any claim to power or prestige or riches that he might have had. And Moses was well aware of the pleasures of sin that abounded in the royal palace of Egypt. He knew the advantage of being one of the very privileged few. But he regarded these things as rubbish compared with the honor of suffering disgrace, he says, for the sake of Christ. You know, it's a natural tendency of man to place great value on things in life that promise happiness and safety and security and joy. But by and large, these things are usually, not always, but generally, things that are opposed to the things of God. The people of the world place great value on such things. In fact, they fear suffering a whole lot more than they fear sin. They're afraid of loss. They're afraid of inconvenience. They're afraid of suffering. They fear loss of prestige. They fear loss of fame, much more than they fear losing the opportunity to serve God. You know, if you're tempted to turn away, if you're tempted to turn away from temporal pleasures, consider the example of Moses. He is willing to forsake all these things for Christ. And in a very real way, the reproach that Moses suffered is an example of the reproach that Christians suffer for following Christ. Moses suffered reproach, indignities, accusations for identifying himself with the people of God. It's not much different today in many circles. You know, we can stand up under this if we follow his example. Look where he placed his affection. Not in riches, not in all the treasures of Egypt, which are now gone. He looked to his heavenly reward, the apostle says. He looked to the hope which strengthened him with the resolve to go on, to forego what the world offered in order to gain what God had promised. You know, he placed his faith in God and left Egypt. And as I said a moment ago, this was the second time he left. The first time he left in fear. Second time as one God used to free his people. This is the second time the apostle's talking about. Moses was a threat to Pharaoh. He could have ostensibly showed up and said, look, I'm the grandson of the prior Pharaoh. He could have challenged him for the throne. He also showed up as the self-appointed leader of well over 1 million Hebrew slaves who could pose a very real threat to Pharaoh's kingdom. And somehow he had brought all this destruction and trouble on Egypt, all these grasshoppers and darkness and water turned to blood and not fit to drink and cattle and boils. And he's not very popular with Pharaoh, to say the least. Pharaoh was angry. Most powerful man in that part of the world hated Moses. Exodus chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again, because when you see my face, you're going to die. How does he stand up under that? Has anyone ever talked to you like that, being a follower of the Lord? We don't know anything about such threats. some of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world do. Some who have perhaps met today did so under threat. They have to face ruthless tyrants just like Pharaoh. How do you meet this? You place your faith in God. You look to emulate the faith of Moses, the faith of the apostles. You claim the truth of Scripture. If God is for me, who can be against me? If Almighty God is on my side, what do I have to fear? You know, the world is full of tyrants. They wield far more power than we can ever imagine, we can ever hope to meet. But Jesus said this. Jesus said, do not fear those who are able to kill the body and then can do no more. If they kill you, that's it. They can't do anything else to you. Jesus said, but fear him who after killing of the body has the power to cast you into hell. That's the one you need to be fearful of. That's the one you need to respect. That's the one you need to obey. Moses didn't fear this raging, angry king in front of him. Rather, he looked for strength. He persevered by looking to the invisible God, he says. Does that not strike you as odd? It's almost the same language Paul uses in Romans 1. He says those who ignore God are without excuse because the invisible things of God are clearly seen. What's that mean? Moses looked to the invisible God. God is invisible. No one has ever seen God. No one can see God. But by faith, a Christian can behold him. They can see him, being assured of his presence. The believer can see and rest in the invisible God. They see him as their king, their provider, their sustainer, their comforter, and their savior. They see him with the eyes of faith. They behold their God and king. Not here, in here, in your heart, by faith. But there is no true faith which does not issue in obedience. We saw that in some of our previous examples of faith in this chapter. Obedience that can proceed from faith alone. God's final stroke that would break the will of Pharaoh and all his officials was the killing of the firstborn. Every firstborn of man and animal were going to be killed in one night. How was God going to preserve his people in that? How were the Hebrews going to be preserved? Well, God appointed some strange and previously unheard of means. And in faith, Moses followed the directions given by God. No one had ever done these things before. God said, this is what you must do. God revealed the ordinance to him with very specific instructions. And although it was something never done, by faith, Moses carried out the sacrament just as God revealed it to him. And these means proved effective. They accomplished exactly what God promised, the saving of the firstborn of the Hebrews. Moses, by faith, also showed respect for the promise which was contained in the thing signified. If you've been with us on Wednesday night, you've heard Pastor Haley explain this. When the Lord gave Moses the instructions about the Passover lamb, how to sacrifice it, how to prepare it, how it was to be eaten, he added these words, Exodus 12:11. It is the Lord's Passover. Moses placed his faith in God in confidence that the thing promised in the Passover rite would come to pass, the saving of the firstborn of the Hebrews, but he also looked beyond that in faith to Christ, the true Lamb of God, and the deliverance of God's people. not from the bondage of Egypt, but from the bondage of sin. This was a shadow of the reality. And it was in this continued observance of this shadow that the Lord Jesus Christ, at Passover, instituted the Lord's Supper. When he says the bread and wine are his body and his blood, he's applying the names of things signified to the appropriated signs, to the appointed signs. He is the Passover lamb, the blood of which saves his people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. When we come to the table, as we will in a few minutes, when we partake, as the Lord instructed, he gave us instructions, just as he gave Moses. When we do that, we have not seen the fulfillment of all that's promised, but we partake by faith. We look to the sprinkled blood of Christ, our Passover lamb, which has delivered us and will deliver us, as Moses looked to the promised reward. That's where his faith was. He's not looking for the reward of riches. He's looking to the promised reward. And beyond the Exodus, God was sending them where? To the promised land. Another shadow, if you will. It's in all your songs. We eat and drink and partake as the Lord instructed, and we've not seen the fulfillment of that, but we will. God has promised that. You know, as the Hebrews left Egypt, our text says here, they faced one other obstacle. They're on their way to the promised reward. They're called upon to exercise their faith in God once again. They're trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, who is coming as fast as they can to kill them all. But God told Moses and the people to place their faith in him. Moses said, don't worry. The Lord will fight for us. You won't have to do anything. You don't have to do a thing except start walking toward the ocean and keep walking when the water parts and keep walking when you're surrounded by great high walls of water on each side. And the people did. By faith, they obeyed the Lord. You know, it's not always going to be easy. The Lord's going to call upon you to do some things. We have to walk by faith. They did. In faith, they obeyed the Lord. They crossed the sea on dry land, as astounding as that may sound. So astounding that the people of our day ridicule and laugh and try to raise up all kind of natural explanations. Unfortunately, even some people in the church do that. But they crossed. The Egyptians said, well, we'll cross too. They pursued them into the sea. The water came back and drowned them all. As scripture says, not one of them survived. They thought they were ready to destroy the people of God. And in that moment, they were destroyed. It's been that way many times throughout the history of the church. God's church has faced difficult times from great tyrants and great oppression. And every time it looked like the church was about to be destroyed, the tyrant is destroyed. God will preserve his church. Pharaoh's army was unconscious of God's impending judgment. They were unconcerned about their own doom. They trusted in their power, in their weapons, their mighty numbers. But God's people were preserved by faith while they all perished. You see a little picture there. It's the same with the unbelieving world. They rush headlong toward judgment. They're oblivious of God's wrath. They're unconcerned about God's wrath until it falls upon them. But how happy, how blessed are those who live by faith, who truly believe in Christ. They know that judgment is coming on the whole world. And they know that they themselves are deserving of judgment. But they know that God has appointed a way of deliverance, a way of safety. And it's effectual for all who will claim it by faith. They turn away from all the empty hopes, all the false promises of the world, all the carnal promises of security, safety, and they look solely to the blood of Jesus Christ. His all-sufficient, one-time sacrifice is the only means of salvation. This they take by faith. They count the things of the world as of no value. They consider their suffering for Christ as only light and momentary troubles, as Paul said. They consider his yoke easy, and they rejoice to suffer shame for Christ's sake. And they rejoice because, like Moses, they look ahead by faith to their reward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for such great examples that you have raised up throughout the history of your church and your people, that you've recorded for us, that you have passed down to us, that we might be strengthened and encouraged in our walk with you, Lord, that we might walk by faith, not by sight, that we might be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy and all those who do his work. Lord, that we can walk by faith, even in difficult times, in times that appear to have no hope. But our hope is in Christ, not in the times, not in the world, not in the things we see. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us that resolve. Lord, help us as we come to the table this morning. Lord, nourish us, strengthen us as we eat and drink with Christ, as we come, as he said, and partake of his body and his blood, these things that are set before us, these things that are the sign and seal of the reality that he has purchased for us with his own blood. Nor if there be any here who do not know, who have not put their faith in Christ, Lord, speak to them, change their hearts, we pray, that they would see their need, that they would see their utter helplessness with all the things that the world offers, and that they would amass to account themselves worthy before you, Lord, show them the utter worthlessness of those things. They are indeed rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Work in their hearts, we pray, for your own glory and honor. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.